Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Diving right back into it, we do have an opportunity for you to become a finalist. Only two left.
That's right.
Tomorrow, and that finalist to get what, Bob?
A $500 gift card from Hy-Vee. It's football season. It's tailgate season. It's Chiefs season. That means it's Hy-Vee season. Well, every season is Hy-Vee season, but more importantly now with tailgating and everything, you need to get it all so you can get it all at Hy-Vee, and we're going to give you the chance to score big with Name That Chief. At the end of this segment, we're going to play a highlight with a member of the Chiefs bleeped out from Mitch, and that will be your cue to call and take a shot at guessing the mystery Kansas City Chiefs player on the air. Get it right, and you'll be in the running to win a $500 Hy-Vee gift card, perfect for loading up on groceries, tailgating.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Supplies and all of your game day essentials brought to you by Hy-Vee, where there's a helpful smile in every aisle. So when you hear that highlight, be caller 5913-586-7965, and we will get you up and on the air. And if you're caller 5, you will win. And if you're caller 4, from like Jake from Aspen, you got to be caller 5, and then you will win.
Caller 5 and guess it correctly.
You got to guess it correctly. That's right.
I went through 4
yes.
or 5 yesterday before we got the correct guess.
Wow. So, okay. Yep. Yeah, you got to guess it correct. Forgot that little part.
I know.
Hey, you're caller 5. You win.
I didn't say the name. Okay.
Yep, a little secret on Monday. I did too. But hey, lucky you on Monday.
There you go. So yes, Andy Reid said right now it doesn't appear that they're going to have a surgery as an option for Xavier Worthy.
Yeah, they're still taking it day by day. I talked to some people around the situation to kind of just dive in and go, all right, what's really going on with Xavier Worthy? And they're not as concerned, I don't think, inside the organization as fans may be concerned with Xavier Worthy. And it's not going to come down to a pain tolerance as much as it's going to come down to the range of motion that Xavier Worthy is going to have. And so if he can move his arm around and be effective, they're going to utilize him. And so I was told yesterday they're probably going to list him as doubtful, you know, for the game this week, which most likely he is going to be doubtful. I think he got a plan that he's probably not going to be there. But the news of this is probably next week, you know, the plan, again, the plan. Sometimes plans don't go the way that we think they are. And so if this doesn't happen, then everybody says, you said no. I'm saying the plan is people lay out the plan. The plan is that they're going to list him as questionable next week. So they're expecting Xavier Worthy to be back, and I use the air quotes, sooner rather than later. That's why you haven't seen him make a move. Just because somebody gets hurt in the NFL doesn't mean their season's over and we got to go out there and make panic moves. Sometimes, hey, yeah, I got hurt. I'm going to be out a week, maybe two, but I should be back after week 3. So there's no reason to go out there and give up the farm for a wide receiver or sign a guy that we don't necessarily need on the roster right now. And that's where you trust the Chiefs as an organization. If this was a long-term serious injury, guys, we would have already had movement on the roster. They would have already adjusted and brought in Mecole Hardman, right? They didn't even consider bringing in Mecole Hardman because that tells you that they don't believe, as of now, again, that this injury is as severe as it looked the other night down in Brazil. Like, I think we're all kind of doing a sigh of relief knowing that injury isn't severe as it looked, because that was a Mack truck hitting a Yugo, guys. Like,
Max awesome.
I mean, that was that was as a collision as you can get in this league, and it looked, I think, a lot worse than ultimately it is going to be. And so if it was going to be worse, if they thought it was going to be worse, they would have acted. They would have made a roster move. They don't believe it's going to be worse, and so they're gonna wait it out. He'll be doubtful this week, probably questionable next week, and start getting to that point where they're going to expect Xavier Worthy back before too long.
Which is huge, because, I mean, they really need him in that Baltimore Ravens game. You know, this week, we know he's going to miss. Next week, it's the Giants. Fine, you can miss it. Week four. Let's go.
Yeah.
Get ready for Baltimore.
Get back for week four. If you miss only 2 weeks and you're back for Baltimore and you're sitting at 3-1 going into that game, and, or 2-1 going into week four, you're fine.
It's a win.
I'm just a hater, I guess, because I'm just terrified. I'm afraid that he's going to get back on the field in 4 weeks, catch a pass over the middle, boom.
But that can happen to anybody. Like, I think that's a fallacy to look at football.
But they don't have the shoulder that's been separated. Like, that's my thing. Like, he's going to be borderline, like, is it worth the one play for 20 yards, or is it worth the 6 to 8 weeks of recovery, if that's what it takes, 8-9 weeks, and have him back ready for when it really does matter? Or it's like, well, we're going to hope and pray that it's going to stay attached, and then we're going to throw him back out there in 4 weeks, and he gets hit, and it blows it up, and now all of a sudden it's like, well, now he's out for the year for sure, and it's going to be tough to get him back in the beginning of the season next year.
Yeah, I don't think that they're looking at it. Like, if he needed surgery, he would have had surgery, okay. Right? And that's kind of where I am on this one. Like, they're not going to put the guy out there if he's not capable, and you're going to do long-term damage. You don't want to lose somebody for an extended period of time. But I'm just not into, well, what if he gets hurt? Every player on every play on every team has an opportunity to get hurt.
I understand that logic, but he's already hurt.
But so are most guys in the NFL. Like, most of these guys are banged up already, man. Yes, it's a brutal, brutal sport. I mean, a lot of these guys don't even heal in the offseason because of how much, you know, pain and suffering, if you will, they go through every single play. It's a collision on every single play. And so most of these guys are just used to being banged up. It's how do you deal with it? How do you handle it? The pain tolerance. Like, I'm not one of these guys, well, he could get hurt. Everybody could get hurt on every single play. And if you live like that, then the odds are you are going to get hurt, right? If you're overly cautious about something, you know how it is. Ooh, I got to be quiet. When you try to walk around the house quiet, not to wake anybody up, what do? You stub your toe, you step on a Lego, you scream out real loud, right? So I've never been one that's operated under the, well, he could get hurt. Everybody could get hurt on every single play. Everybody is one play away from their NFL careers ending. And everybody in the NFL at one time or another has probably played when they shouldn't be playing because they know what's at stake and they know what they want to do. And they know they have a limited shelf life to being able to play in the NFL. The average career is 3.5 years. I mean, you miss a game, you miss a good portion of your average NFL career. And so these guys are going to get back. But if it required surgery and it needed to have surgery, they would have had surgery. The fact that they're saying he's probably going to be questionable this week or doubtful this week, but probably questionable next week, kind of tells you where they know and where the recovery is probably headed at this point in time.
All right. Time to name that player.
Yeah, let's do it. Caller number five right now. When you know this player, it's your chance to score big with Name That Chief. Every weekday this week, we're going to give you that cue to call, and you'll take a shot at guessing the mystery Chiefs player on air. Get it right. You'll be in the running to win a $500 Hy-Vee gift card. We'll announce that at the end of the week. It's perfect for loading up on groceries, tailgating supplies, and all of your game day essentials, brought to you by Hy-Vee, where there's a helpful smile in every aisle. Mac, hit it!
Chiefs go flip bone, first and 10 at the Buffalo 12. They give it off, left side, at the 10, angling to the 5, into the end zone, left side, touchdown, Kansas City. It's a 90-yard drive to start the AFC Championship game on a 12-yard run by.
Is that the Anthony Thomas on the jet sweep?
Yeah, that's it.
913-586-7965. If you know who that mystery chief is, and you will be one of the five qualifiers if you're caller number five for that $500 gift card. A lot of fives.
Coming up on the other side, Ben Maller joins us, brought to you by The Landing in Liberty. What does Ben have to say after week one of the NFL? Here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Isaiah Pacheco, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
It is time to talk to our guy, Ben Maller of Fox Sports Radio. You can catch him overnights right here on 96.5 The Fan. It's all brought to you by our friends at The Landing in Liberty. And Ben, I know you didn't play the game, but I do value your opinion anyway. So week one, overreactions. What are we overreacting to after the first week of the NFL season, my friend?
I didn't play in the NFL, but I watched the NFL. No, the big one for me is Daniel Jones. He's arrived. He's wearing the Colts uniform now. That was much more about the Miami Dolphins riding the vomit comet and Tua Tagovailoa and all that than it was, I believe, Daniel Jones. He did look good. I got to see it against the Broncos this weekend, so I'm not all in on that one. And then also, you look around some of the other games that stand out. The Rams won, but they looked terrible, I thought, against the Texans, and the Texans fumbled late. That stood out to me. Sam Darnold, I don't know if it's an overreaction or the proper reaction, because he looked pretty bad. He looked like the old Sam Darnold, so that's pretty dangerous if you're Seattle. So those are a couple of things that stand out. Also, the demise of the Detroit Lions, because they looked pretty bad against the Green Bay Packers at Lambeau, and you're like, well, they stink. And it's like, well, it's one game. Oh, yeah, they stunk. Yeah, for that game, they did stink. And I know we do the show right now, so we have to react to it. So those are a few of the things that stood out. It's good to see, though, the Giants look the same, that all that hype, that it's like they're like the Mets or the Knicks. They hype the Giants. Oh, the Giants are back. Russell Wilson, stabilizing force. They got Malik Neighbors. They got all these studs on defense, and they went out there and same old Giants. Didn't look any different to me when I was flipping to that game.
No, but it all depends on the quarterback. I mean, if you don't have that guy, you just don't stand a chance to win in the NFL. There are so many teams that roll into the start of the season, and you look at their quarterback, and you're like, man, you don't stand a chance in hell to go out there and win. And that's kind of where the Giants are with Russell Wilson. He stinks out loud right now. Like, he needs to retire. Should have retired probably a while ago. How fast do you think they make that switch to Jackson Dart?
I would bench him at halftime. How about this? I'll give him the first half as the Giants play the Cowboys. And if he's playing the same way he did last week, if I'm Brian Daboll, I dumb him. The problem is you're going to put a rookie in there. And I don't care how good Jackson Dart looked in the preseason. We've all been fooled by that. I'm not going to be fooled again. I got to see it in the regular season. So they're going to be growing pains with him too. But the way I look at it, I'd rather throw him out there and then get that out of the way and try to he'll figure it out at some point. And if he doesn't figure it out, then that's a different can of worms. So I'd much rather go with that. Like, Russ he wasn't that good as last year in Seattle. People forget. You talk about hustle. Is this news embargoed around the NFL that Russell Wilson's not good? Is it the news not gotten out? Are people not paying attention? Like, what's going on? It's very bizarre.
Ben, when I look at this game on Monday night, right? Like, two high-profile quarterbacks, two high-profile coaches. Kevin O'Connell, maybe not. When I say high-profile, that doesn't really make sense. But you get what I'm saying. J.J. McCarthy, yeah. did he do anything for you? I know that you love stories. You love the emergence of what could be. And we heard that Aaron Jones, I don't know if you're familiar with what Aaron Jones had to say about what he said on LeSean McCoy's podcast, I think, where he said J.J. McCarthy got in the huddle and goes, you boys got anywhere else to be? Like, that to me, Ben, that's what gets my plums like plump.
Well, I wonder, though. I'm always skeptical, Dusty, stuff like that. I'm like, does that story come out if they lose the game? Do we hear that he said we're going to win the game? Has it come out because it's one of those fairy tales because they won the game? Did Caleb Williams not say that on the Bears sideline? Did he not say, hey, we're going to go win this game right now, or the defense and all that? I mean, J.J. McCarthy looked like he had never picked up a football before the first three quarters of the game. Like, he was just horrific. It's like he was asleep out there, caught off guard, flat-footed, all that stuff, the way he was playing the first three quarters of the game. It's like, and I did pick the Vikings in the game. I thought Minnesota was going to win. They were really good defensively. You look at the first – to me, the story in that game is Caleb Williams. Like, he was fine when they were scripting plays, the first 10 plays or so, and then when they went off script and he had to improvise, he was as bad as – he had a quarterback rating in, like, the 70s, I think. From the end, early second quarter to the end of the game. For three quarters, he was terrible. So it was like, it was weird. It was like reverso, because you had J.J. McCarthy, who was really bad for three quarters, but then played really well in the fourth quarter, and then Caleb Williams, who was good in the first quarter, and then did nothing the rest of the game. So it was a very bizarre situation. And those are two high-profile coaches. Financially, they're very well paid. Right? Isn't Ben Johnson rolling in money now with the Bears? Paid him a ton of money. He could have had any job he wanted, Ben Johnson, and that's the job that he picked. We'll see how good his decision-making is with Caleb Williams. Although that's a game this weekend, guys, Lions and Bears.
Oh,
the Ben Johnson reunion game. That's a pretty good game.
Ben Johnson Bowl that's taking place. And I think it's interesting because I went into the season with the Lions, Ben, and I'm sure we probably talked about this, going, I don't know where I am. You're losing both of your coordinators. We're going to see if Dan Campbell's really a good coach or if he was a guy that benefited a lot from his coordinator. So I think this is a big test for the Detroit Lions, especially to show
we're out of the shadow of Ben Johnson. We're going to move forward because it sure didn't look like it in week one, as you'd mentioned.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And I still have PTSD from Jared Goff with the Rams, where I just don't trust that guy. I don't care how many decent seasons he's had since the early days of his career. The Lions have some issues internally on that offensive line, the middle of that offensive line. There's a lot of gobbledygook out there in that offensive line. It just doesn't look very good at all. And they looked a lot more like the old Lions, that they'd lost their edge, that Dan Campbell, everything Dan Campbell was selling about fight and all that stuff, I didn't see much of that against the Green Bay Packers last week. You never look good when you lose, but they really were so different than they had been. I don't think we're exaggerating saying how far off the Lions looked last week. But again, it's like the 1 week that we're talking about, the 1 week thing. So they did look terrible. And now you look ahead, are they going to be outstanding against the Bears? I would think that Ben Johnson knows all of Jared Goff's weaknesses. Whether the Bears defense can actually execute, that's the problem. But you got to think that going into that, the coaching advantage would be on the Bears side, even though Ben Johnson hasn't coached very much, but he can rhapsodize about all the wonderful shortcomings of the Lions offense.
All right, Ben, let's cut to the chase. Let's hear what you have to say about my Chiefs, because a very disappointing Friday night, and now they have Mahomes coming back home for the first game of the year, 1.5 underdog to the Eagles, who beat Dallas. I'll agree they beat Dallas, maybe not in the most, you know, Philadelphia way. But were your big concerns, and what are your non-concerns with the Kansas City Chiefs?
The obvious concern is that they looked plotting. They did not have the playmaker. They did not have the explosion in that game against the Chargers, which is a problem. And this has been the hardest game. I'm doing Benny versus the Penny now on YouTube. By the way, subscribe. But I'm doing that and handicapping this game. The Eagles are favored. You guys are probably going to the game. I know Bob's going, but the Eagles are favored. This would be, if that holds up, only the second time in Patrick Mahomes' career that he's going to be a home underdog at Arrowhead. He's 68 career starts. He's closed as an underdog one time in his career. That was against the Buffalo Bills a couple years ago. So this is really almost uncharted territory in the Patrick Mahomes era. And I don't think the Chiefs are that bad. I want to believe that they're not as bad as they looked offensively. Maybe the Chargers are better. And you're right. The Eagles did not look great. I don't think the Cowboys are all that wonderful. And the Eagles, Barkley had some issues. He didn't have the dominant game that he's had in the past. So you wonder about that. So I've tossed and turned about this. I've gone back and forth on this particular game. And I like to think at home, getting even if it's a half point or a point and a half or whatever with the Chiefs would be the right side on that. But I'm so skeptical of the playmaking with the guys that are out for the Chiefs that it makes it very difficult to handicap the game, which is a way of saying I'm taking the Eagles in the game. So there, I said it. I'm taking the Eagles in the game.
Talking with Ben Maller here on 96.5 The Fan, as we do every Thursday. It's all brought to you by the guys at The Landing in Liberty. And Ben, before we kind of wrap this up and let you go, with big Thursday night game. I mean, Daniels versus Jordan Love, Green Bay versus Washington. What are you looking at tonight on the gridiron?
Yeah, so I like the Washington football team. This is the oldest team in the NFL, Washington, on a short week, which is generally a bad formula. The Packers, they're not the youngest team, they're close to being the youngest team in the NFL. But I still like Washington in this game. Jaden Daniels in prime time is going to put on a show, and it's, you know, they're going to hype up Micah Parsons, and they're going to force Al Michaels to wax poetic for 10 minutes about Micah Parsons at the start of the game and all that stuff. But I'm going to take the Commanders. Played 5 primetime games last year, and they dominated most. I think they were 4-1. They won way over the point spread if you're into gambling and all that last year. And I think Washington's got a lot to clean up. They played a very sloppy game last week, had a bunch of penalties against the Giants, and they still won the game. So I expect them to play a cleaner game, and I'm still not all in on Green Bay. I go with the better quarterback. Jaden Daniels is a better player than the Green Bay Packers are sending out with Jordan Love, so I'm going to go that way. Although Washington has not won. I found this fun fact, guys. Washington has not won in Green Bay since 1988. The last time the team, they were called the Redskins then, with Doug Williams at quarterback. It's been that long. That's been a minute. That's a long time. Yeah. Oh, they don't play that often, but still, I mean, it's like wow, 1988, right? Ronald Reagan was the president. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, wild. 1988. Good Lord.
Yeah.
Such a long time ago, the Dodgers were good.
Yeah, well, the Dodgers were good organically back then. Now they just buy all the players. So back then, they actually built a team, but not now.
Well, Ben, hell of a job analyzing the NFL for never playing the game at the professional level. Really nice job out of you. We will talk to you again next week.
Don't tell Ryan Clark about this. Thanks, guys.
That's Ben Maller, brought to you by The Landing in Liberty. Get the Ben Maller chicken fingers. You can also get Bob's pretzel as well. And enjoy yourself some Dusty Nachos.
That's something we talked about that's not happening. Ben asked me, like, after the interview, he's like, by the way, Dusty, he's like, are you going to get on the menu? And I said, Ben, here's the deal. I don't like Sloppy Joe's because of the name. I don't eat meatloaf because of the name. I know I'm supposed to go eat the meatloaf at Third Street Social. Tyler, I promise I'll get to it.
I went to Third Street Social yesterday. Had a very nice salmon salad. Very
nice.
Isn't
it awesome?
With
the green goddess on it, the avocados?
Yeah, it was fantastic. And then the salmon kind of spread before that you have. I'm trying to think of what the name of the fish dip or whatever on focaccia bread. Salmon dip. That's the fantastic. Great job.
Squeeze the lemon into the dip.
I didn't do the lemon. I'm good on that. Yeah. Okay. Good on
I forget
lemon.
You hate lemons.
I don't know. I don't hate lemon
you
at all.
You get tea with lime.
I do. That's a Texas thing. I learned that when I moved to Texas. Everybody got it with lime. I tried it. I never went back to lemon.
You ever tried it? Bigger try Texas, it. Including the
lime. Try the lime in your tea, and you'll be like, oh, my God. Now, it's supposed to be unsweetened tea. I don't drink the sweetened tea. So if you drink the unsweetened tea, lime, forget about it.
Mac, I need to take you to Third Street Social.
I would love it.
Oh, dude, the Brussels sprout appetizer or the salmon dip appetizer, one of the two best. Also, pro move on the salmon salad. I get the salmon. It's annoying. I guess I'm that guy.
Blackened?
Can I please have the salmon on a side plate?
Oh, you don't get it on top of your salad?
I don't like hot lettuce.
Oh, see, I don't mind that. Yeah. That's interesting. No,
so then I can take a bite of my lettuce, and then I can go bite a salmon.
I don't hate that, but I will say I'm a sucker for the hot lettuce on the McChicken.
That's a different kind of thing.
That's like
the
we're talking
lettuce,
about
mayonnaise, and McChicken is just a delicious party in your mouth.
That's about the only time that I like hot lettuce, unless it's in the garage. But I don't like, I don't like toasted subs. I'm not into the hot. I don't know.
I'm not a huge toasted sub guy either. Oh,
maybe I'm just a Jersey boy and I just love that sandwich with the mozzarella.
Yeah, you don't, if it's good, you don't need it toasted. Like the Italian, the Italian sub at Marco Polo's Jasper's is just unbelievable. You don't need your sub toasted. That's why Quiznos doesn't exist. Remember they said the meat floating in the juice? Oh, God.
So good.
It was good.
It was so good. You know it was good.
I love Quiznos.
I didn't say it wasn't, but I mean, they're not in business anymore.
I always got the chicken carbonara. So
that's
it. That wasn't soaked in juice.
The chicken soaked in juice, and then they threw that on the sandwich.
One word.
First name is Blake, and he goes on a cruise. He goes on a Caribbean cruise.
Katie Holmes.
No. Ah!
Are you listening?
What's your least favorite thing about working with yourself?
Body odor.
You get one word.
On the count of three, name your favorite dinosaur. One, two, three.
Velociraptor.
This is One Word on Fesco and Dusty.
Which is more appealing to you? The sandwich artist who wipes the knife off on the tray and then uses it on your sandwich after scraping the mayonnaise off it. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Or the guy who soaks the meat in the water and then throws it on your sandwich to warm it up. Which is more appealing to you?
The knife. I like the knife.
It's both. I don't hate the sog. Like, I get the mics away, the pro move in your car halfway through the way home, roll the sandwich over. So then the juice goes from one side
seeping
to
the other.
I'm not worried about the sog at all. Oh. I'm talking about the grossness of that guy taking the knife that he just used on the previous sandwich, scraping the mayonnaise off, and then using it on your sandwich.
He's about to put it on mine. Let's go.
Yeah,
I didn't want mayonnaise. Now I've got mayonnaise.
Well, kind
of. Yeah, you get a little residue.
Yeah.
That McChicken with the hot lettuce.
But that's different. I want that. Like you want it, it's one thing. If you don't want it and you get it, you're like, I didn't want that.
All right, one word. Royals won last night. They needed that win. They're still in it. One word.
In it is the correct way to talk about this team right now. But the one word that I would use is desperate. You've got to play desperate right now. I thought they played desperate last night. I thought Q did a really nice job of mixing
game.
And matching and the bullpen and pinch hitting and pinch running and all that kind of stuff. He managed kind of desperate last night. He kind of talked about that with us on the show. Desperate. Play every game like it's the last, man.
Yeah, just keep winning. Now you got to string 6-7 in a row. Cleveland again tonight in this 4-game series. And you get Philadelphia. It doesn't get any easier. We know what they could do offensively. You got to keep winning, which gains momentum, which gets you ready for that Seattle Mariners game. Because guess what? You won last night. So did everybody else.
That's the thing. You won and you didn't gain anything.
You're at the point where you just keep winning. So last night's game, in one word,
good.
Yeah, you won. It was a great manager game. Like, you want to give Q a bunch of blank all the time? That was a game in which you found out 3 days ago that your starter wasn't going to pitch in this game and you had to orchestrate something. You want to give Q a lot of crap, you got to give Q a lot of pats on the back after last night's game, that managed game. Sorry.
Let me ask you this, Dusty. You're on the text line over there. How many texts did we get this morning saying, nice job by Q for managing that game?
We had a few.
We did. Okay, good. Awesome.
Oh, we did? Okay, good.
Good. Yeah.
Nice.
No, because I was with you. You fired that.
Was ready. Yeah. Yeah.
Hang on. The Royals elimination number. Let me see if I can find that right now.
Give it
now to
me.
Somebody said right here. It says, my new nickname for Q is Spud because he has a pair bigger than taters.
Nice.
Their elimination number for the Central is like 7 now, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Stick here in KC for one more, and then we'll get to the NBA and some NFL stuff. One word on Travis Kelce, New Heights podcast. Sidebar, I thought New Heights was done for the season. I thought he talked about that and not doing it this year. I guess that's not a thing. Kelce took blame for that Xavier Worthy injury. One word.
Good. Yeah, he should take blame for it. What he said, I thought, was a very good way of being a veteran leader, going, that's my fault, man. I wasn't ready for the game, which we can get into. I didn't run my route the right way. You're 13, man. You got to do all those little things. It's a wake-up call, I think, for Travis, too.
I'd say my one word would be, like, emotional. I mean, I think there's all sort of angles of emotion within that sort of speech, right? He's sad. He's heartbroken. But he also knows, like, we've got to keep going. We got to keep moving on. This is what he would want. And there's a chance he'll be back this season, continuing to play football for this Kansas City Chiefs team at wide receiver. So, emotional. But not every time you say emotional, is it a bad or a low thing? So, I'm okay with it. I'm glad he did that.
I'm not glad Adam Silver did this. This is what he said about the sport of basketball yesterday.
There's a huge amount of our content that people can essentially consume for free. I mean, this is very much a highlights-based sport. You know, so, you know, Instagram, TikTok, you know, Twitter, you name it, any service, you know, the New York Times for that matter, to the extent that your content is not behind a paid firewall. There's an enormous amount of content out there. YouTube, another example that is advertising-based that consumers can consume.
Jesus. Jesus is my one word for that. Because the NBA signed an 11-year media rights deal worth $76 billion with NBC, Disney, and Amazon for the next 11 years for $76 billion. He's just told those TV companies, your product doesn't matter.
Nope.
Our people don't watch it. Make sure you write the check. We're just here for the highlights. It's a bad look by Adam Silver, man.
Yeah, it'd be like you. I hope you don't take this the wrong way, but it'd be like you promoting Smokehouse. Be like, yeah, I don't eat there.
No. You know, right. Be
like, yeah, their beans are good, but that's about it. Like, what? Like, did he just say that? The guy that backs this company just said, like, basically, like, we don't care if you watch it or not. Like, why would I? Yeah, what?
$76 billion they're getting over the next 11 years, and that's what the commissioner just said about the league? Hey, bait and switch. Sorry, man. Nobody's watching the product. They're just watching the highlights. Thanks for the $76 billion.
Yeah. My word is Voldemort. I've said that. Yeah. We don't say his name. Show me his face. That guy's an alien in disguise. Like, I just don't like that Adam Silver guy.
Nope. $76 billion, guys.
We're a highlight sport.
It's insane.
Which is not wrong.
They're not wrong, but you don't say it.
You should want to not be a highlight sport. You should be trying to change that perception.
You guys look absolutely adorable together. You seem happy. We're not. You don't need to let people know that.
Right.
Smile and fake it, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, this thing, dude.
That's not the only thing the NBA announced yesterday. The NBA has announced that the end of period heaves, you know, there's 0.4 seconds left. The guy gets it and just chucks it, sees if he can get it. Usually it's in the stands or high off the backboard. Yep, exactly. It'll now count as a missed field goal attempt for the teams, but it'll not count towards a player's field goal percentage. One word on that rule change.
Follow up. What if he makes it?
Well, that's my question, because if he makes it, does it count for him? Because if it doesn't count with a miss, it better not count with a make.
Yep. You got Tyrese Halliburton in 2 years. He needs 27 points. He's got 25. He throws a heave. Team bucket.
Oh! Yeah, no, that's BS.
There's no way.
The one word is useless because this story yesterday, it was like the NBA was trying to steal thunder from the NFL or from the baseball playoff races or whatever the case may be. And this story came out yesterday, was all over X, and everybody was talking about it. I'm like, who the hell cares about this? I understand from a player perspective, but then Dusty brought up the genius point this morning. He goes, why does this matter? Remind you of your take? Gambling.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, like, yeah, I just say, like, the Halliburton's got 25. He's got 20. He throws a heave up. He's over under is 27.5. He hits that three at the end of the half. Goes to 28, but sorry.
But he doesn't get the points.
I don't know.
That's what I'm saying.
Or does he just not get the shot?
I would assume he gets the points.
But if he's not getting the miss, then he shouldn't get.
I agree.
There's more to this. And something like this is going to. There's going to be a scandal this year. I'm just telling you that right now. There's going to be
a rate.
But like you can bet on how many shots a guy puts up in a game, right?
Does that count as a shot?
No, they're telling you it doesn't. But if he makes it, does it?
Ego would be my one word.
I mean, my God.
It's all for the players' egos.
Yeah.
BS.
Golly. Here comes the text line. Well, you know, you could just not gamble. You just see it. Could totally see it. No, I don't know, man. But, yeah, that's just interesting, man. Coming up, Smash or Pass. It's brought to you by Booth Creek Wagyu, Casey's Best Steaks, now with two locations, 95th and Nall and 135th Metcalf. Also, Shawnee Mission Ford on a mission to do more online at ShawneeMissionFord.com. We'll get into Smash or Pass on their side, but first, I don't know what's first. Just join us.
Smash.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is George Karlaftis, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
It's that time on a Thursday when you smash or pass, which means you get to hear one of your favorite sounders. We had a guy the other day text in and say, this sounder always goes off. He works for like UPS, and it goes off in his truck. And
fantastic.
He says everyone looks at him weird. Well, here you go, UPS man.
Finally, I'm one of those guys who can't wait to get to work in the morning, like a dairy cow.
Ah! Ah! Oh, yes! Yes!
When you hear that call, you want to be caller number 7. I like the number 7.
Lucky number 7.
Yeah, also a great movie called Lucky Number 7. If you've never seen it, Mac, I suggest you go check it out.
Have you ever seen the movie named 7?
Yes. What's in the box? It is Smash or Pass here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, which is brought to you by Booth Creek Wagyu, Casey's Best Steaks, now with two locations, 95th and Nall and 135th and Metcalf. Also, Shawnee Mission Ford on a mission to do more. Online at ShawneeMissionFord.com. We always have conversations about food outside of the office.
Pretty much all we talk about outside. Dusty and I are interested in it. We like cooking. We like experimenting with that kind of stuff. We like exchanging recipes. Yes, we're old church-going women. That's okay. We enjoy that. Like, we probably send each other more recipes than anything, and I enjoy the hell out of it. And so yesterday, my daughter sits down. She goes, try these chips, Dad. I'm like, all right. I think I found a new leader in the clubhouse for the best chip on the market today. The kettle-cooked jalapeno Lays.
Smash. Oh,
yeah. Always Holy cow.
The Miss Vicks are even better.
She said there was another brand, and that must be it then, because she couldn't remember what it was. Yes. It's Miss Vicks? I always thought it was Miss Vicky's.
It might be Miss Vicky's. It might be. You might be right.
It might be that.
Either way, it's that one.
Can we look it up and see? Because if all these years it's Miss Vicks, and I thought it was Miss Vicky's this entire time, just goes to show you how amazing the mind is.
Vicky's.
It is Vicky's.
And you can get the combo box at like all superstores. Yep. Like you can get like the, they have a bunch of flavors.
Their salt and vinegar is very good.
I can't do the vinegar.
It's my favorite chip in the world.
Used to be mine too, but now I am all in on the jalapeno.
So you are.
My favorite chip in the world is Cape Cod sea salt and vinegar. With that little lighthouse on the
damn
bag.
Good. It's
the
damn
Cape
good.
Cod chips are the best chips. And there's no
Arts
doubt.
Arts and Mary's are also great. But I don't know if you've ever had Arts and Mary's black pepper kettle chips. They're like a shimmery bag.
Black pepper kettle chips, though.
Dude, Arts and Mary's has a jalapeno one that'll slap you in the face. They have a black peppered one. And then they have like an original just kettle cooked chip. It's called Arts and Mary's. One of the best chips I've ever had in my entire life.
All right, okay. I know I'm going to Hy-Vee then stocking up.
They definitely have them there. They definitely have them there.
Gotta get all the chips for the game
also,
on Sunday.
Also, don't sleep on the Hy-Vee brand chips.
No,
dude.
I don't.
Way cheaper and really the same kettle.
Solid, okay.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm a both, right? Sea salt, vinegar, jalapeno cheddar. You bring them both to the table. I'm probably going to do a combolina on my plate of both.
The vinegar for me, the smell, when somebody uses that on fish and chips or something like that, I'm out. Yeah, I don't know. And it's not always been something
like pickles.
I know, but it's like recently, the last, I don't know, few years, all of a sudden I'm like turned off by vinegar. I don't know why. Maybe it's COVID. Who knows?
Yeah.
We also had our friends at Nothing Bundt Cakes came out with a fall flavored Bundt Cake. Caramel apple cider, and inside there is a caramel apple cider goo.
Smash.
Did I send you the caramel apple pretzel the other day?
I think so.
For dessert, you can do a caramel apple pretzel.
Damn.
How about
to put that on the menu?
You think he's going to put that on the menu? Good Lord.
Might as well.
Yeah, that
he's
sounds
selling
great.
Cheese curds. He should be selling the apple caramel apple pretzel for dessert.
That's a great
Speaking
combo.
Of Smash Your Pass segment, since everybody's hungry for breakfast, that's why we do it at this time period. Cheese curd or cheese stick?
Not curd. Yeah, once I had my first curd at Bozeman Mine in River Falls, Wisconsin in 2001, I'm a curd guy.
Well, for God's sakes, that's like being like, well, once I had my first fish and chips in Scotland.
No.
You're like
cheese.
In the heart of curds.
I know, but like that was in 2001. Curds weren't here in like 2001. Very few and far between. The Culver's thing didn't exist.
The curd
all that
tax
got,
really progressed in the past 25 years.
It really has. I mean, you see curds more and more. And I think a lot of places around here started serving curds because everybody was going up to River Falls and experimented and found these things and brought them back. And now they're everywhere, but no, I like the curd. I like the grease in the bottom of the basket.
That's brutal. I'm gonna prank my kids this year with a caramel apple or a caramel covered onion this Halloween.
Come on, that's just being a jerk, man. That's mean. That is
don't
gross.
Do that.
My friend PR ate an onion one time like an apple because we dared him.
Oh God.
My sister used to do that.
In this hand, just biting gross. Into it like a hand fruit. Your sister did that too?
Yeah, growing up when she was a kid. Yeah.
Why?
Why
do these people do that? That's
she
disgusting.
She was like seven. She's like, no, I think it tastes good. I'm like,
so
okay.
These are your Nothing Bundt Cake fall flavors. You ready for this?
Yep.
They have a Snickers now until October 5th. Mm-hmm. It looks delicious.
Smash.
The caramel apple cider now until the 21st of September. Don't
worry. Okay.
Got 10 days.
Do you remember?
They have a pumpkin spice.
Okay. Good. You know? Gotta have
and then
that.
They have a, I'm going to mispronounce this, Biscoff.
Yeah, the Biscoff. Is good.
Biscoff cookie butter.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, those don't take Momo to Bucky's,
yes.
Dude.
I'm in. Like, I'm in.
Because you
going.
Get those little minis that are perfect. For most people, it's two bites. For me, it's just like, see you later.
You think that's a perfect size? I don't think it's enough.
Right.
Give me a bigger cake.
Give me more.
The Biscoff cookies are good when you fly and you get them on the airlines every once in a while. You get they're so good.
I told you guys, one of my friends works in an airline attendant or whatever, and visited us just for one random night. It was just our birthdays, and so he just had all the first class snacks. Gave us a big bag of first class snacks.
Nice. Yeah, good. You get the Biscoff cookies.
Biscoffs were in there, baby. Yeah.
Those Lotus cookies are fantastic.
It's fun to do this time of year because this is the first home regular season game for the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested for those of you that are calling in or that are texting in 913-586-7965. That's a Jay Southland Toast Service text line. Get in the know. With Jay Southland. So what's on your tailgate spread that you're smashing this Sunday?
We're doing barbecue. We're getting smokehouse. We're getting ribs. We're getting burnt ends. We're getting wings. We're getting beans.
Jealous.
The whole nine
beans,
yards,
greens,
man.
Beans, greens, tomatoes, yams, jam.
Nixon 5.
Nixon 5. And you're going to take some Arts and Mary's there. Put some.
Get some chips at the Hy-Vee. Get the cookies at Hy-Vee that have Andy Reid's face on them. I love going into Hy-Vee this time of year because all my cookies look like Mahomes and Reid. And they're so good, too.
Someone says I was smashing almost everything on the Great Food Truck Race. I told you it's a great show. It's fantastic
show. That's what he talked about. Yeah, that does
so
sound
great.
Good.
It's crazy, too, because in the tailgate, there's some people that'll be like, oh, they'll do themed, you know, Philadelphia's in town.
Yes.
There's a lot of Blackstones in that Arrowhead parking lot, or people that have this Philly cheesesteaks.
Philly cheesesteaks, yeah.
Whew. God.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Do you like the nacho cheese over the Philly or just leave it with the mixed cheese and the meat?
I'm down with either one.
Either one's fine. I usually use provolone if I'm going to do it. Like if I go to Patergino's in Philadelphia, if I'm visiting my sister, you get provolone. I like that. I like the peppers and onions. And
Mushrooms, too.
Mm. Love mushrooms. Jalapenos, onions,
I really,
peppers.
I mean, this is going to sound so bad. I love a cheesesteak. The number one reason why, the ketchup and the steak together, it's just a great combination. Mm. Not a good steak. We're talking cheesesteak, the thin steak.
Heck,
I'm not putting that on a porterhouse or something. But the peppers, the onions, the cheese, the meat, all just, it just gets tied together with the ketchup for me. I just love it.
This one's tough, but I'm not gonna, you know, diss anybody's tailgate. Somebody says on the 816, I'm making chili.
It's
a hot day
for
chili.
95 degrees on Sunday. I know we're trying to rush fall, but keep that crock pot. Yeah, keep that away for a little bit longer.
I'll tell you what, though. If I'm 8 or 9 surfsides deep at that tailgate and there's chili,
smash. We're smashing.
Right?
I don't know that I could do chili on a hot day like that.
Somebody says cream cheese on the Philly.
Ooh, I would definitely try that.
Does Emily put sour cream on the Philly?
Probably.
Bet she does.
I bet I'm not
probably guess.
Yeah. I do the bun, and then I put both sides smeared with horseradish. Then I put the meat cheese combo with the peppers and onions all in it, and then I put the ladle of nacho cheese over the top.
That's a lot of cheese.
Any mayonnaise? No mayonnaise?
Oh, God. Horseradish is
what?
Horseradish.
No, that's mayonnaise for sure.
Mayonnaise on a hot cheesesteak?
Absolutely.
Oh, God.
Every time. Mm. Yes. Lightly smoked salmon on a cedar plank.
That's good. I like that.
That sounds good.
Where are you going to be?
Exactly.
Wow, come over for some slightly smoked salmon. Also, that sounds really good.
We just had a text calling in and waiting, and 2 minutes before I didn't answer. I didn't win this prize. We haven't sounded off the sounder yet. Don't call in yet.
Calm down,
yeah, it's okay,
bro.
913. You're fine.
Finally, I'm one of those guys who can't wait to get to work in the morning. Like a dairy cow.
Oh, yes! Yes!
I don't like cream cheese on the sandwich because I feel like I would leave teeth marks. It's too thick.
I need cream cheese
on a good point.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Brooklyn bagel, that's what I need. I need those bagels from the homeland. Coming up on the other side, the man, the myth, the legend, George Brett, joins us here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Creed Humphrey, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.